still reign. Over my circumstance, he still reigns. Oh God, in the name of Jesus, thank you, God. Oh, bless the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Let's give God praise for that praise team on this morning. Asia singing to the glory of God. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We were at the women's prison and Dolores broke out singing. I said, wait a minute, God. You're doing it, God. Praise God. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you. We praise you. We bless you. We lift your name on high. Thank you for another day's journey, God. Thank you. Thank you for who you are, and because of who you are, we give you glory. God, for the next few moments, just bless your word, God, to our hearts and to our minds, that we'll apply them to our lives and share your word with a dark and dying world. We bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Please be seated. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Little Ceci was over there singing.
Yeah.
See, the Bible says, train up a child in the way that they should go. You know, and see, God is just awesome like that. Sometimes the children, they being children, but you see them dialed in. Yeah. I remember it was one of Shirley Caesar's testimony, you know, that preaching, singing woman. Mm-hmm. And say when she was young, you know, her and other kids, they'd be imitating the church. They'd be out in the yard dancing and singing and shouting, you know, making fun of the church folks, right? And one day they was out there, and they was glory, hallelujah, dust flying everywhere. And somebody said, they ain't playing this time. Yeah, they ain't playing now. The Holy Spirit done got hold to them now. Praise God. Thank God for Jesus. Every now and then I feel him. Thank you, Lord. Like, you know, the old story about the boy flying the kite. Had so much string on it, he just got up so high, he just disappeared. The old man passed by and said, man, what you doing? He said, I'm flying my kite. He said, I don't see no kite. How you know you got a kite? He said, every now and then I feel it pulling. Every now and then I feel the Lord pulling on my heart, pulling on my mind. Praise God, making himself manifest to me. And so we bless God on today. What a blessing and a privilege it is to be in the house of the Lord today. Lord gave me a thought. I was just, you know, contemplating of how good God is. And God is great. And he is greatly to be praised. I was trying not to sing too much. Wanted my voice to hold out. But the thought the Lord gave me, you see it up there. I don't understand it, but I believe it. Amen. Hello, somebody. Is there any things that you don't understand that God has said or God has done?
Hallelujah.
It's over your pay grade, and you can't get your head around it, but because God said it, I believe it. Somebody used to say, well, God said it. I believe that settles it. Say, no, even if I don't believe it, it's still settled. Because God said it. And God, one thing God cannot do, he cannot lie. God is true to his word. Amen. Praise God. And so the lesson today, the verses from Romans 11, 33 through 36 as a starting point. But we really want to talk about some things here today that we don't quite understand, but we believe. See, I've learned over the years, what I cannot comprehend, I apprehend by faith. I lay hold on to what God has said, because God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. If God said it, he'll do it. If God spoke it, he'll bring it to pass. Thank you, God. And so I'm going to read this and give a little backdrop. And I know that God has a word for us on today. Thank you, God. We're living in a time where so many people don't believe God. Matter of fact, it's not that they don't believe God. They don't even know God and don't want to know God. We're living in some perilous times where people are wayward. People are just wandering. People are just living by their own dictates. But it's something about when you come to know the Lord. In Romans 11, 33, he says, oh, that O-H always just wear me out. Have you ever had an O down on the inside? I ain't talking about, oh, woe is me. But, oh, God, how great you are. Oh, God, I'm in need. Oh, God, help. He said, oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. Wow. Okay, what caused Paul the writer to do this doxology in these last three or four verses? You know, see, remember that Jesus came to his own, and his own received him not, but as many as received him, to them he gave the power to become the sons of God. In short, Jesus brought salvation. We know that Israel was and is and always will be God's chosen people. But we know how Jesus gave his life for the sins of the world. And so the very ones who should have known who Jesus was according to the scriptures, their retort was, we're going to kill him. He's making us look bad. He's healing folks and raising the dead. Do you know they even wanted to kill Lazarus again? Now, you know that's bad. But God, in his omniscient mind, in his all-loving mind, he made a way of salvation for everyone. That whoever believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So a lot of Gentiles, see, we're in the time of the Gentiles. And a whole lot of Gentiles begin to give their life to this Jesus. Just like we studied in Colossians on last Thursday night, Epaphras, who was actually the pastor of the church at Colossae, he was a Gentile. So the word of God was out and people were coming to know the Lord Jesus. And somebody said, well, wait a minute, what about us Jews? God said, I haven't forgot you. You got a plan for you. But we're living in a time where Jesus is calling whosoever will, let him come. Thank you, Lord God. And so sometimes when God is doing something fresh, when God is doing something new, then it's hard for people to wrap their head around it. You know, I'm excited to see ministries go forth. I'm excited to see people come to know Jesus and turn from their sins and begin to walk in newness of life. I'm saying hallelujah. All right. And some stuff I can't understand. And we as people can't understand, but we understand this one thing, that we know our eternal God who's all powerful. And so as the church begin to grow and to flourish, and even, matter of fact, even if you look in the book of Acts, a whole lot of priests began to follow the way of the Lord. God was making a shift. Things was beginning to happen. But, you know, whenever God's moving, the devil sure get crazy. But greater is he who is within us than he is in the world. There's some stuff I don't understand, but I believe it. Because if I could figure out what God was doing, I couldn't do it. Who knows the mind of God? He said, oh, the depths of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. Someplace we need to get to a point where we know that God is all powerful. He's omniscient. He's all knowing. He's all wisdom. He's all knowledge. We're going to see some things here. Let me get past my happy point here. Paul says, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. Have you ever seen folks get mad at God because somebody died? Get mad at God because the relationship has fallen apart. Get mad at God when things don't go the way we think they ought to go. He said, how unsearchable are his judgments? It takes us back to what is Psalm 145, where it talks about God is righteous in all of his ways and kind in all of his deeds. And the question they have to be, is that true? Yes. The next question, do you believe it? I need to, because it's true. So how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out? That don't mean that I'm not seeking to know more of him. I'm not trying. I'm searching the scriptures and I'm calling upon his name because I know that he has all of the answers and his ways are past finding out. It, like the children used to sing the old song, say, I don't know why Jesus loved me. And I don't know why he cared. I don't know why he sacrificed his life, but I'm so glad that he did. It's, listen to these words. For who has known the mind of the Lord? Oh, my God. Thank you, Lord. They got psychiatrists that put lay people on the couch, ask them if their parents beat them. I heard this one fellow at the job one time. He was real slowful. I mean, really slowful. Really, really slowful. So this one brother asked him one day, he said, man, did your parents beat you? He said, no. He said, well, they should have, you know. But for who has known the mind of the Lord? Or who has become his counselor? You ever heard folks say, I told God this? All right. I told, what? Who are you to tell God anything? I'm going to hold God to his word. His word is already standing true. That's right. His word is already true. So people need to come off their high horse and recognize that we need God way more than he need us. Who has first given to him, and it shall be repaid to him. Here's what it's saying is, who have loaned God any money? Right. Who have gave God anything that now God has to pay you back for what you've done? The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. Everything belongs to God. It says, for listen, and this is so powerful. For of him and through him and to him are all things. To whom be glory forever. Amen. Our God reigns. He still reigns. Over my circumstances, he reigns. Who has been his counselor? No, nobody. But oh, when we need counseling, where do we go? We go to the Lord. Have you ever had to go to the Lord in the midst of trouble, in the midst of trial, over in the midnight hour? Have anybody ever had to call on Jesus?
Hallelujah.
When everybody in the house is asleep?
Jesus.
And your spirit is stirred?
Yes.
You don't know how this is going to turn out. You don't know which way this is going. And you begin to call on Jesus. And the song says, if you call on Jesus, he'll answer prayer. Is there a witness in the house today that God will hear and answer prayer? Thank you, God. He may not come when you want him, but he's always, I guarantee you, he's always on time. My God is never late. Ooh, thank you, God. I don't understand it, but I believe it. I believe that the depths of his riches, of his wisdom and knowledge are unsearchable. Listen at Genesis 1, 1 and 2. It's so many scriptures we know because we've heard them so many times. But in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. In the beginning, somebody said, well, who created God? Nobody. Because God has always existed. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Do anybody in here know just how he did that? Do you understand every intricate part of it? So the question is, right, rhetorical? No. So the next question, though, do you believe it? Because some of this stuff that people believe is so crazy, it's easier to believe that God did it than to think that there was a big bang. And out of that big game too, came horses and cows and birds and pigeons and fish, nuts and fruit and vegetables. Okay, you want to believe that. And then man evolved from an amoeba. And then he decided, you know what? I want to be a monkey. God said, let us make man in our own image and likeness. That to me, I don't understand it all, but I believe it because God said so. And this other stuff, these other doghead theories make no sense whatsoever. But see, we walk by faith and not by sight. And hearing come, and faith come by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So when we get in the word of God, God shows us where we came from. Not only that, he shows us where we're going. In the beginning, God created the heavens and earth, and the earth was without form. I don't get it. And it was void. Nothing. Big old blob of water. And darkness was over the face of the deep. Darkness. Okay, my little brain can only take so much. But at this point, David, he hadn't said, let there be light. He hadn't created the sun or the moon, none of this. So when they talk about darkness was over the face of the deep, can you imagine? I'm glad I wasn't there. It's like, I'm toast. It's all over. I mean, I'm talking about this big old planet that we're living on. And get this, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. The same one who Paul said, oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. Oh, God, in him all things consist. I don't understand it all, but I believe it. Some of the wisest folks in Scripture sometimes was overwhelmed when they just start thinking about and seeing God's creation. Remember, Scripture say, the heavens declare the glory of God. Look at this, Proverbs 30, verse 18 and 19. The writer of Proverbs here says, there are three things that amaze me. Four. Four things that I don't understand. Again, my thought is, I don't understand it, but I believe it. The first thing that the writer say he don't understand is how an eagle glides through the sky. He may go for hours, not even flapping his wings, just soaring. The writer said, I don't understand it. Then he said, the second thing is how a snake slithers on a rock. He don't have any legs. He's not wearing any Nikes. But he's moving fast to get from point A to B. I don't understand it, but God created him. He said, and the third thing is how a ship navigates the ocean. Now, I know most of us in here have been on a cruise ship at some point. Now, I don't know about y'all, but did you ever get to a point where you say, that's a lot of water. And this is a whole big old hunk of iron. And it's a whole lot of souls on this thing. And all of that luggage. And God, if you don't help us, if you don't help us get from point A to point B, there's going to be a grave in the angry deep. But God in all of his wisdom and knowledge, gave man the know-how to make a boat. And it started with Noah, all right, where there had never been rain letting on a boat. But the man preached for 120 years, it's going to rain. It's going to rain. How many today believe it's going to be a latter rain? Anybody believe today that it won't be by water, but it'll be by fire next time? Is there anybody believe that those days are coming closer than we know?
Jesus.
And he said, and the fourth thing is how a man loves a woman. This very deep writer of the Proverbs is saying, I don't get it. I mean, what can cause a man's heart to flutter when he see that young lady? And who allowed him to fall in love? I'm just saying, y'all. What can cause a man to run hot and cold at the same time? Get lost for words. He see it, he goes, you know, hello. Man. He said, I don't get it how a man loves a woman. God is love. Love comes from God. You can't manufacture love. It's a God thing. Didn't it say what God has joined together, let no man put asunder? God is romantic. Who you think made these beautiful moonlit nights? Birds chirping in the trees. And anyway. The fourth thing is how a man loves a woman. And it's really a vice versa thing. And what would cause two people to say, I want to be with you for the rest of my life? Man. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 27. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. Do you know how many folks who think they're just so smart, they're just so intelligent, that don't nobody know nothing but them, and they got a theory and a hypothesis for everything? But God has spoken. God has spoken, and the church ought to say amen. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. See, everything that's high, God will bring it down. He says, and God, talking about the Lord God, the creator of heavens and earth, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. Man can create an atom bomb, but God could say it ain't going to go off unless I say so. My God, today, we serve an awesome God. So he take the foolish things that the world called foolish. But to us, it's the power of God.
Hallelujah.
God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things that are mighty. God took weak little David and caused him to slay the giant Goliath. It didn't make sense. Saul, the king, didn't understand it. His brothers got mad at him. But God said, I'll take the weak thing here to give victory to my people. And listen to this. And the base things of the world and the things which are despised, God has chosen. Have you ever seen somebody say, oh, he ain't gonna never be no good? His daddy wasn't no good and he ain't gonna be no good. God said, I'll take him and I'll make something new out of him. I'll give him a new heart and a new mind. He says, and the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are. Why? That no flesh should glory in his presence. I don't understand it, but I believe it. See, God can do the impossible. God, and through God, what did those songs you say back in the day? I see the invisible. I feel the intangible. I believe the impossible because God. We remember Moses at the Red Sea. I believe it, but I don't understand it. God caused the winds to blow all night long, parted the Red Sea. His people is on the bank scared to death because the Pharaoh and his army is coming close to him, coming up on him. But God not only parted the Red Sea, but they went across old dry ground. Over a million people. Now, in my mind, I would be, God, I thank you, I'm on your side. I'm looking at all this water congealed up on both sides. So, Jesse, I don't think I'd be walking too slow either. Come on, come on, come on. Don't you want to go? I mean, I would have my heels clicking, getting to the other side. I don't understand how God did it, but God did it, and he preserved his people, and if he did it for them, he'll do it for us. Thank you, God. That no flesh shall glory in his presence. And when you see a man or a woman who's saying, look at me, who said, listen to me, who said, just do what I say, that's a dangerous place to be. But we ought to point people to the Lord Jesus Christ. Point people to the one who's able to do anything but fail. And so there's so much I don't understand, but this is one that's really, really got me. Romans chapter 5, verse 6 through 8. Oh God, thank you, God. First of all, thank you for saving me. Thank you for delivering me. Thank you for writing my name down in the Lamb's Book of Life. Verse 6 says, for when we were still without strength, when we were jacked up, when we were tore up from the flow up, when we lost and undone without God or his son, for when we were still without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. I don't understand it. I was messed up, Sister Carolina. I was broken. Alcohol and drugs and noise was the order of the day. Angry at the world. To this day, I don't understand why he loved me so. Till he came to my rescue. When we were still without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. And anybody who's not in Christ is ungodly. And anybody who's in Christ and not acting like they should is ungodly. God wants us to walk uprightly before him. Hey, so the writer here, he switches to the human side of things. He say, for scarcely... for a righteous man will one die. Sometimes some or few may put their life on the line for a righteous person. But yet, perhaps for a good man, someone would even dare to die. In a war zone, a soldier may throw himself on a hand grenade to protect the rest of his brothers in arms. Somebody might want to say, I'll take the bullet for Martin Luther King. He said, for a good man, someone would even dare to die. But this conjunction here, but God demonstrates his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Brother Jesse, I don't understand it. Not only do I believe it, but I receive it. When I was lost without God, he saw me where I was at. Picked me up out of a horrible pit. Placed my feet up on a solid rock. Poured his spirit down into this old fleshly body. Gave me a new walk and a new talk. Oh God, in the name of Jesus. He demonstrated his love. He said, if you want to see a demonstration, tell the saints to get a mirror and look in it. Thank you, Jesus. He demonstrated his love towards us while we were still sinners. Christ died for us. I think about sometime myself, and I think about some of the old songs, and one of them say, I was sinking so deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore. I don't know if anybody else can identify with it. Oh, but I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea, he heard my despairing cry. Have anybody ever cried out to God? I'm talking about in your sin. Oh, God, do you remember the day before salvation? Do you remember the dark time? But Jesus came in. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea, he heard my despairing cry. Oh, God. And from the waters, he lifted me. Now, save am I. Somebody could have Peter testify. You remember when Jesus told you to walk on the water? And you said, okay, sir. And you began to walk on the water. Wind blowing, wave shifting. But then all of a sudden, you got distracted. You got your mind off of Jesus. And you begin to sink. You begin to go down. And then he cried out, Lord, save me. Yeah. Ooh, thank you, Jesus. Jesus reached out his hand, picked him up, and guess what? He had to walk back to the boat on the water. Ooh. Jesus will help us in our drowning times. He'll help us in our times of distress. He'll help us in our time of anger. He'll help us in our time of poverty. He's there all the time. Nobody like our God. Thank you, Jesus. Revelation 21 and 4. I'm just sharing with the saints today. I don't understand it. But I shall not believe it. Verse 4 of Revelation 21. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. My mother cried for us all the time. Overprotective all the time. In our mess, she was praying for us and crying for us, crying over us. But see, now she's in glory. And God said, concerning all of his saints, I will wipe away every tear from the... God, you mean to tell me I got loved ones who ain't saved? God, I have those who are on their way to hell fast, and now I'm in the presence of you, dear God, and you said you're going to wipe away all my tears. That hard-headed daughter, that hard-headed son, that situation, this crazy stuff down here on planet Earth, the political spectrum, the drug infestation, the homelessness that makes you want to cry. He said, I will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Oh, God, it's crying time right now. But he said, and there'll be no more death. So, Patricia, I don't understand it. But I sure enough believe it. Because one of these great getting up mornings, oh, thank you, God, there shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. I think I should have shut off the mic on that. There should be no more pain. Mother Carol, there'll be no more pain.
Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you.
Sister Sean, there'll be no more pain. This is a suffering way that we're living in right now, even on our best days. This is a suffering way.
Hallelujah.
And the older I get, the more real it becomes. Thank you, God. And you know what? Not only in the by and by, but when you lock into Jesus, some of the past stuff that haunted us for years, he'll lift it off of us. He'll show us how to forgive. He'll show us how to release. He'll show us how to go forward because he gives us hope beyond the clouds.
Hallelujah.
It's something about it being excited about the Lord. I was sharing with my nephew who has a new hope in himself after having no hope over 20 years. And now he's getting anxious because it seemed like there may be something that will cancel out that life without. But I was sharing with him, I said, you know what? We have given Christ our lives, our very soul. Right, when we give our life to Jesus, we say, take all of me. It said, for the rest of my life, God, I'm serving you.
Hallelujah.
I've entrusted you, God, with my soul, with my very being. I've entrusted you to transport me from earth to heaven. And so now if I can understand the reality of that.
Hallelujah.
That when I came to Jesus weary, wounded, and sad, he heard me. I gave myself to him. So Elder Tyrone, now why is it that I can't trust him with stuff? Why I can't trust him with sickness? Why I can't trust him with anger? Why I cannot trust him in all of these areas of my life? If I said, take my soul, I'm yours, Lord. Try me now and see. Thank you, God. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there should be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain. For the former things have passed away. He goes on to say, I make all things new. Thank you, God. But then the Bible tells me that if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Patricia had me about crying on Bible study the other night because she was testifying about her husband who God has saved. What the song say? You don't know like I know what he's done for me, see? And you can't tell it like I can. What the Lord has done for me. Anybody in here got a testimony?
Hallelujah.
I'm shutting this thing down, but does anybody in here have a testimony? Where God has brought you from. When God worked a miracle in your life. When you were crying out to him for years on out and God stepped in. Oh, God, is there an amen in the house? Is there a hallelujah in the house? Because somebody who have not experienced that, they need to hear a hallelujah today. They need to hear amen today. They need to hear yes, Lord, today. If he did it for them, he'll do it for me. I can be new in Christ.
Thank you,
Jesus. Thank you.
Thank you.
Oh, God, thank you. In the name of Jesus. In the matchless name of Jesus. God, I said it before, I'll say it again. He can turn your dark yesterdays into bright tomorrows. Thank you, God. He has given us the ministry of reconciliation. As though God is speaking through us to the world. Be recognized to God. God is appealing to someone today. Let go and let God. release yourself, release your pain, release your past into the hands of the one has the depth of riches of the wisdom and knowledge in his hand. The one who know you. The one who gave his life for you. The one who weeps when you weep. The one who cried when you cry. Today is your day. Today is your day. Yeah, God. Today is your day. Turn it over to Jesus. He'll work it out. Humble yourself before the mighty hand of God and he will lift you up. Run into Jesus. He'll receive you. He'll put a robe on you. He'll put a ring on you. And he'll bless you. Praise God. So we just thank the Lord today. Father, I pray today if there's someone that's listening and whatever in this sanctuary today, they'll come running to the altar saying, God, have mercy. God, save me. God, heal me. God, deliver me. God, wherever folks may be on in these social media platforms, somebody may be on the freeway, tell them to pull over and make this day the day that they will say, God, save me. Deliver me. Set me free. Forgive me of my sins. I dedicate my life to you. Let this be somebody's birthday. Their new birth today. God, somebody who's broken. Somebody who's tired. Somebody who's hurting. Someone who's in despair. Someone who is sick and afflicted. Oh God, by your spirit, by your power, today, God, right where we stand, right where we sit, today, God, hey, God, yes, Lord, oh God, renew it, renew our minds, renew our hearts, God, take us back to where we first believed, God, heal us, in the name of Jesus, in the mighty name of Jesus, God, and we thank you, and we praise you, Lord. In the name of Jesus, Lord. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Amen. God bless you all. Amen. Why don't we stand up for benediction? Come on, Brother Tyrone, give us the benediction. Praise the Lord. And we're going to go, for the few of us that are here today, we're going to have a brief meeting right after the benediction. God bless you. All right.
Praise God, praise God. I don't understand it, but I believe it. Yes. I ain't got past, I don't understand it. I'm where I believe it. And that's where I stand.
Yes. All right.
I'm standing on the word of God.